In the name of Allah, greetings to all the economic activists of Iran. I hope you are all doing well and feeling great. We are here with another educational podcast, this time focusing on preparing for the sales process. If you remember, two episodes ago, we talked about the roadmap for trade and sales, and we mentioned that the first stage is lead generation. The second stage, which we'll be discussing now, is preparing for contact or communication with a potential customer. This means that in the preparation process, you need to be ready in advance to establish a successful connection. There is information that you need to have, and I previously discussed the importance of information during a meeting on Thursday. I explained that today's world, this generation is making money based on knowledge, awareness, and overall information. Anyone who has more knowledge and access to more information can also earn more. I also mentioned earlier that the average of the five people you are in contact with, look at their income and you'll see that your income is about the same as theirs. The average of the five people who sell, look at how much they sell with whom you are connected, and you'll see that your income and sales are similar. This is the world of information and communication. To prepare at this stage, we need to strengthen our knowledge, including product descriptions, pricing, payment methods, competitors' rates, sales dates. These all become important. Today, I will talk a little about these topics, and in the coming days, I will go into more details and cover all the aspects. Today, we are preparing for an initial presentation, an introduction to our products, so that we are ready to answer potential customers' questions. You need to practice what you want to say in advance and ask someone to let you present to them and have that person ask you questions so that you can be better prepared. Negotiation is nothing but a series of questions and answers. The questions you need to ask the customer and the questions the customers ask you. You need to understand why the customer is asking a particular question. You might think you know why they ask, but set aside that certainty for now, because there are things I know that might conflict with your certainty. Every question has an outward appearance that you perceive, but it also has a deeper hidden aspect that makes things a bit more complicated. Recognizing these hidden aspects resides in the third layer of the brain, which we have previously discussed. I'll give you an example before we move on to preparation, so we can better understand the concept of appearance versus hidden meaning. Imagine a yellow taxi driving in front of you while you're driving. This taxi is a type of car like Pride in Iran with a yellow color, and you're looking at the rear view of the Pride as it drives and transports passengers. Imagine that the car's rear has a dent, meaning the trunk is visibly damaged and part of the tail light is broken. Now, this scene has an outward appearance, right? If I ask you what you see, you'll probably say a car that's been in an accident with a broken tail light. If I ask 100 people, they would likely describe something similar, explaining that the car had an accident, although the accident didn't just happen, it had happened earlier. So most people would correctly identify the outward appearance, but what does the hidden aspect of this scene tell us? What does it convey to you? Take a moment, pause my talk, and write down on paper what you understand from seeing this scene. What does it tell you about the car, about the driver? Pay close attention. What does it reveal about the city you live in? Can you deduce something about the people of the city just by seeing a taxi with the rear end damage? Yes, you can. Let me give you another example. Imagine you enter a city where at noon there's a garbage strewn in front of every house. What does the outward appearance tell you? It says that there is a trash lying around. But what does the hidden aspect reveal? Is there no one responsible for collecting this trash? Does the city not have a mayor? Are there no officials? Are there people uncultured not knowing that they should place their trash out before 9 p.m.? These whys and questions lead us to uncover the hidden aspects. Let's go back to that damaged car. Did the taxi driver not have the money to repair the car? Did he not have the time to get it fixed? Did he think it wasn't worth fixing because it might get into another accident? Is he careless or lacking in taste? Is he poor? Is he uncultured? These are the hidden aspects. From the outward appearance, what hidden meanings did you uncover? Many people say choosing a spouse like picking a close watermelon because they don't know the person's character qualities. But who says it's impossible to know? Doesn't the person have an outward appearance? Can't you tell if this person is deceitful, honest, trustworthy, ethical, cultured, polite, well-mannered? Do you think it's impossible to discern these things? The common belief is that choosing a spouse is like picking a close watermelon. You can't know until you're living with them. Yes, if you're superficial and don't delve into the underlying truth, you won't be able to understand. But the third layer of the brain teaches you that actually you can understand everything. And now we're going to start preparing for a business negotiation. First, in any contact, your mobile number is important. Does it make a difference whether your number is prepaid or postpaid? Whether it's a number from the capital or a small city? Is there no difference for you? That's just about the number itself. Is it a memorable number or not? Does that make no difference? What does the appearance say? What does the underlying truth say? These are two different perspectives. Does your profile picture on social media make no difference? Whether you put a picture of a flower, your child, the sea, a bird, or a book, does it make no difference? The appearance sees the picture on your profile and says it's a landscape. You see it too, and when I ask what the picture is, you say a landscape. Thousands of people see it too, and if I ask them what they saw, they all say a landscape. But who perceives the underlying meaning? The whole story is in the underlying truth, but you and many others focus only on the appearance and never move to the third layer to understand the underlying reality. The underlying truth reveals the whole story and the intentions. You need to understand if the person who put up a picture of a bird, a businessman claiming to be honest, trustworthy, and so on, if their appearance aligns with their underlying reality and claims. My dear friends, you can understand all of this. Those who don't and constantly get tricked, who fail in life, do so because they don't pay attention to the underlying truth. Recently, I've noticed that most people on social media are captivated by these cute, appealing, but fundamentally deceptive hamster, metaphorically speaking, constantly installing Telegram and similar apps just to keep tapping their screens What does the appearance say? What does the underlying truth say? It's very important. And as a business person, you need to have common sense and be able to discern this. You need to develop financial intelligence in this regard. But let's move on to presenting, to introducing, to preparing for a phone negotiation or even a text-based negotiation, as well as in-person meetings. These all have etiquettes that you must learn and execute correctly. In a meeting, I talked about product knowledge and asked if you were ready to present your product. Are you prepared? What does preparation entail? First, the pricing structure. If you've set a price for a product, what is its structure? On what basis was this price determined? Does it have a structure, or did you just set it because you felt like it? A decision must be made. A business person must have a structure, a pricing structure. Second, the style, strategy, designs, models, and varieties available for that product should be clear. You should have the knowledge and understanding on this aspect as well. Third, the history of the product. You need to know information related to the history of your product. When did it first emerge in other countries? When did it appear in Iran? And what was the context? Why did it emerge, and what need is it supposed to fulfill? Fourth, the production process of the product. How is it produced? To what extent is it produced? Is it manufactured in Iran or abroad? What human resources, energy, and fuel are required for production? If it's produced in Iran, what is the production rate in the country? On what basis has the pricing been set? Is it because fuel costs are low in Iran, labor is inexpensive, and storage and location costs are cheap? Why is this product being offered at this price? Why is it more expensive in other countries? Why is it cheaper? You need to fully understand the production process, including the materials used and how the product works. What need does it fulfill? Fifth, the usage of the product. If it's a device, how can it be used? You need to explain this clearly. For example, explaining how to use a product like pistachios or apples might seem ridiculous. Why should I talk about something so obvious? Yes, it's irrelevant because everyone knows how to use these. Are you discussing the product, apples, and how to use them? Everyone knows that, and the person who is your customer, a trader, wants to buy it. Are they buying it to consume it or to sell it? Is the need already established? If not, then the usage of the product must be explained. If the need is established, then there is no need to explain the usage. Have you ever seen instructions on a bag of chips explaining how to eat them after opening? Or instructions on a cookie package on how to eat the cookie? No, they don't explain the usage. But when you buy shampoo, there are instructions. When you buy a cream, there are instructions. So it's important. Do they know or do they not? How should the product be explained and delivered? If I, as a trader, want to sell this product to you, how should I explain it? How will I deliver it to you? What are the delivery conditions? What are the payment terms? If you purchase it, does it come with after-sales service? Does it have a warranty? Are there repair and maintenance services? Is there support or not? What standards does it meet? What certifications does it have? Who has endorsed it, both you and your product? But the customer, what information should I have about the customer to negotiate effectively? First, who is the customer? Who is the buyer? Which country are they from? What quantity do they need, and for where, when, and under what conditions? Why do they want it in the first place? What do they need it for? Are they buying the materials for a factory? Or are they planning to distribute it across the country in the market? Is this important? Does it make a difference in pricing? Absolutely, it does. If they are buying for a factory, we offer one price. But if they want to sell it in the market, it's a different price. Is the customer a middleman, or are they buying for themselves, for their own factory, or for their own production? Are they a trader or a broker? These distinctions matter. Are you prepared to negotiate with each of these groups? Maybe your customer is an investor looking to import this product into their country. Perhaps they don't even know what product to import yet and are exploring options. Considering whether to invest in your product or in others, think about how many people from Iran go to China looking to invest in a product they're not even familiar with. But they see, for example, a specific type of rosary or a prayer mat being made in China and think, if I bring this to Iran, it will sell. They might see a prayer mat with a feature like a counter for counting prayers and think, should I import this into my country? They are pondering this question even though they have never imported this product before and are just inventors following their instincts or research. Have I categorized these types of customers so that if I encounter such individuals, I know how to negotiate with them? Have I prepared myself? Some people are neither investors, brokers, nor intermediaries. So what are they, you ask? These are people with connections. They might say, look, I'm not an importer, but I saw your product advertised somewhere, realized it has a good profit margin, and then noticed that in my country it's being sold at a certain price while you're offering it at a lower price. I like that. I don't have the money myself, but I know an investor who might be interested. It could be an acquaintance or a stranger. I plan to negotiate with you first, and if the terms are good, I'll connect that investor or acquaintance to you, or I'll handle the negotiation myself. So some people only have connections. Have I prepared to negotiate with this type of customer? Who is the customer? A customer is someone we are in contact with. Therefore, even someone who has many connections is also our customer. For instance, someone from our embassy might contact you. They are a customer, but not for themselves. A buyer might approach an embassy in another country and ask the Iranian embassy, can you supply me with this product from Iran? When the ambassador or embassy employee starts searching and finds you saying, we need goods for this country, it means that they don't want it for themselves. In reality, they have become a middleman and are acting on behalf of others. There are many similar situations in Iran as well, so pay close attention and understand that your customers can fall into several different categories. Do you have a structure for how to negotiate with these different groups? Or are you just dealing with whoever comes along without any planning and then wondering why the deal didn't go through? Why didn't they buy? Why? All these whys come from the fact that the sale didn't happen because you didn't have a structure in place. I keep emphasizing the importance of process and a structure. Sales are like a factory, a sales factory. I've repeatedly told you to listen to the Sales Factory podcast because I have talked about this in detail. You need to have a sales pipeline process. There's been a lot of discussion about the sales pipeline, and you should listen to those podcasts carefully. Implement what you learn, and if you want results, then you'll see that once you've mastered these skills, the money will come in steadily. Yes, your customers are all turning into money because you're now prepared and have learned how to handle each customer. What is the essence of this customer? What's their story? How should I approach them so that they become attended to me? There's been extensive discussion about the law of attraction, personality, and all these topics. You just need to watch, learn the techniques, execute them, and practice. When you go to different meetings and implement what you have learned, you'll be able to say, "Master, I'm attracting people. Whenever I speak, others are drawn to me and I receive tons of messages." Some of you go to meetings to speak and no one even messaged you afterward. What does that mean? On the surface, it means you spoke, but underneath, it means you weren't compelling. The surface says someone spoke, but what does the deeper layer say? It says someone spoke, but they weren't engaging. If you're truly engaging, the deeper layer says someone spoke and drew us in, and now we're in touch with them, eager to follow their lead, accept their direction, and move forward with them because we understand that this man, this woman is truly capable. When you attend meetings, observe who is capable and who is weak, you move from the surface to the deeper layers. Without understanding the surface, you can't reach the deeper truth. You've heard the saying, "A man's virtues and faults remain hidden until he speaks." He needs to speak for us to understand what's beneath the surface. Without speaking, it's impossible to discern. There are times for speaking and there are times for observing. The eye must see, the ear must listen when someone speaks, and if the mind is sound, it discerns the inner truth. I think I have already shared a lot of podcasts and teachings about how the brain gives comments. Go and listen to all these podcasts, learn all this knowledge, and then you'll see that the world is something extraordinary. You'll clearly see the abundance of blessing and realize that this world is a world of abundance. Someone just needs to step up and gather all this money. Yes, learn how to do it, execute it, and you will see for yourself. Then you will come back and say, "Master, people just want to give me money. It's everywhere, and I just need to find the time to arrange and collect it all." Yes, that's exactly what the world is like, especially in our country. Many people say the situation is bad, but I say it's getting better every day. Each day is better. Each day there are more blessings. It's a difference in perspective. Some see the country's situation as chaotic and bad, while I see it as improving and getting better every day. Be prepared. Be prepared for negotiations with customers. So I need to understand these different customer personalities. Customers can be categorized into different types based on psychological science. Complaining customers, dissatisfied customers, arrogant customers, distrustful customers, low trust customers, envious customers, stingy customers, stubborn customers, nosy or curious customers. To put it more politely, customers who won't buy, the don't buy customer, and customers who are generous or easy to sell. These all have their own definitions. Are you ready? On Sundays in our meetings, we work on these different customer personality types. I give roles to the participants and they practice there. For instance, if someone doesn't trust us enough to pay, how can we earn their trust? Yes, there are personalities like this. Are you ready to learn how to negotiate with these customers? With preparation, you have already won half the battle. Often, I tell my students that you will be successful when you're prepared. If I say something, you need to anticipate what options the customer might raise. If they bring up option one, what should I say? If they ask about option two, what should I say? If they ask about three or four, what should I say? How should I respond to each of these potential questions? Each question has an appearance and a deeper meaning. What is the apparent intention? But why are they asking this? For example, the customer might ask, where are you located? Now I could just say, I'm at home. But no, that's not what they mean. They aren't asking for your exact physical location or your GPS coordinates. What they really want to know is, one, where is the product produced? Two, where is it distributed? Three, who pays for shipping and transportation? So when they ask, where are you, they really mean these things. Pay close attention. There is a funny video clip of a man and a woman sitting together in a restaurant. The man has a big appetite, and the woman, though she eats less, still enjoys good food like a nice piece of meat. The man orders two meals, one for himself and one for his wife, and they start eating. The man then asks his wife, do you want the tomato? The woman says, no, thanks. So the man uses his fork to take the tomato from her plate because she said she didn't want it. What was the surface appearance? What did the woman think the service meant? She thought the question, do you eat tomatoes, implied that if she did, the man would give her his tomatoes. So she said, no, thank you. But the real intent was different, and the man took the tomatoes for himself. Understand this story well. The woman felt she had been taken advantage of when her tomatoes were taken. She thought, so this is how it is, and then asked, do you eat meat? The man said, yes. And once again, he took the meat from her plate and said, thank you, I appreciate it. The woman realized she had been deceived again. She thought that by asking the same question, she would succeed this time and could take the man's meat. But it turned out the opposite, and she was deceived again. So pay close attention. If you only see the surface and do not understand the deeper meaning of the question, sales will not happen and you will incur losses. I hope today's file has been useful to you all. Learn, practice, and be ready for $1 billion sales, because I'm confident that this will happen soon for you. Those of you who are listening to this file, taking notes and practicing, I love you all and wish you a good day.